Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning, the Apostle John speaks to us. He speaks about love, faith, and testimony. It's a rich time of year here at Concordia Seminary. What a joy it was yesterday to hear the names of the congregations, the names of the cities where our vicars and our graduates will soon serve. All of them being called by God to love Him, and to love His children. And all of them being called to testify, to bear on their lips and in their hands the divine, Spirit-filled, apostolic testimony about Jesus Christ. The testimony which God Himself has provided concerning His Son, concerning eternal life in His Son. The testimony which alone gives birth to faith, so that all who receive this testimony and believe are not overcome by the world with its cynicism and doubts, its false goals and false gods and false promises, its evil and its violence, and its proud jealousies and hatreds, so that all who receive this testimony in faith will instead overcome the world with love, with faith-born love, with eternal life and eternal love. I've been reading a book recently, maybe you've heard of it. It's called Mission at Nuremberg. It's written by journalist Tim Townsend, who used to work for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It's a great book, you should all read it. It tells the remarkable story of the ministry of a pastor, Henry Gehrke. Gehrke graduated from this seminary in 1926. He received his first call to Christ Lutheran Church in St. Louis, and some years later, he became the director of the St. Louis Lutheran City Mission, doing his full-time work ministering to the poor and struggling people of urban St. Louis. He looked for every opportunity to share the gospel, to testify to Christ, to love, and to help those in need. He was active in prison ministry. He had a regular spot on KFUO radio with a devotional segment called Moments of Grace. When World War II came, Gehrke's two sons enlisted, and they were sent overseas, one to Europe and one to the Pacific. And one afternoon in 1943, Gehrke sat himself down at the kitchen table in his small St. Louis apartment, and he shared the news with his wife. He announced to his wife that he himself had volunteered to go and serve as a war chaplain. Just a side note to you seminarians, this is probably the kind of a decision that would be good to discuss with your spouse in advance. But Gehrke didn't, apparently. He reported for chaplaincy training and then served the last 2 years of the war stationed with an army hospital unit in Britain. There, too, Gehrke looked for every opportunity to love and to help and to bring the good news of God's own testimony concerning Jesus and eternal life in Him to others. Gehrke preached and prayed. He counseled and consoled. He ministered to doctors and nurses and the staff of that unit, and he especially ministered and came alongside the hundreds and hundreds of soldiers who had come to him directly from the horrors of war, many of them physically shattered, even grotesque, many of them dying. Many had simply been overwhelmed by the tumult and the terror and the evil, and they were shattered in their minds and in their spirits. Gehrke visited and visited and visited with them. He loved them. He brought to them God's testimony about Jesus. He spoke life-giving words. He placed the body and blood of Christ on dying sinners' tongues. Sometimes he even had the privilege to baptize. But the main topic of this book is not about Pastor Gehrke's ministry in St. Louis or in Britain, but at Nuremberg. When the war ended, the military rounded up the Nazi leaders, those that were still surviving, and they eventually moved them to a prison in Nuremberg, Germany, right next to the Nazis' Palace of Justice. You've heard of the Nuremberg trials, where many high-profile Nazis were accused of their war crimes, crimes against humanity, and their cases were tried and deliberated in a televised, worldwide spectacle. Pastor Gehrke, although he was offered the opportunity to refuse and return to his wife and his home in St. Louis, accepted the assignment as chaplain to these Nazi leaders. Their hands, in most cases, were dripping with blood. Their actions had been monstrous, demonic, and of course, such actions proceed from the heart. So we know the state of their hearts. Over the next months, Gehrke came alongside these monsters. He reached out to these twisted men, these children of God. Rudolf Hess, Hermann Göring, Wilhelm Keitel, Albert Speer, and many more. Some rebuffed him and would go on continuing to rebuff him. Others, however, eventually received his testimony. Some he confirmed, communed with the body and blood of their Savior. He would eventually accompany them to the gallows and to their death, having prayed with them for divine pardon in Jesus' blood. In June of 1946, rumor had reached these prisoners that the army was preparing to send Gehrke home to St. Louis. One of the Nazis, speaking on behalf of a number of them, actually wrote a letter to Pastor Gehrke's wife, Alma, in St. Louis, with a polite plea that her husband might remain in Nuremberg a bit longer. Having read the letter, Mrs. Gehrke sent an immediate communication to her husband, encouraging him to stay. "They need you," she wrote. It is a moving story of love, faith, and testimony. I went to Amazon.com a few days ago. I wanted to read a little bit more about Tim Townsend, the author, and I was also curious what kind of reviews the book was getting. The reviews overall were very positive. 118 reviews, 4.6 out of 5 stars. But two reviewers gave the book the lowest possible rating, 1 out of 5 stars. I was curious why they had rated it so poorly, so I took a look at these reviews. The first 1-star reviewer wrote, "Getting close to these monsters and giving them human qualities and emotions is very difficult to swallow. I understand the Christian philosophy of forgiveness, but that should be left to God. Let them go to their deaths, fearing they may burn in hell. They provided no comfort to those they burned." The other 1-star reviewer was offended for the same reason. "It appears the author tries to rationalize why Gehrke became so close to the Nazis. He does this in a number of ways. First, by giving a short biography of each Nazi, quoting numerous times, Gehrke strived to remember that before their alliance with Hitler, before the choices they made that led to mayhem and murder, they had all been boys once, and that they were still God's children. The reader begins to wonder his purpose other than to downgrade what the Nazis had done." And the review closes with the blunt statement, "Just asking for forgiveness is not enough to save these Nazi monsters' souls." Just asking for forgiveness is not enough to save these Nazi monsters' souls. Oh, but it is. And our souls as well. And this is no mere human claim or wish. It is the testimony which God Himself has given to us concerning His Son. And Garrickey's love was no mere human love. It was the love born of faith in Jesus Christ. Love, faith, testimony. When the Apostle John speaks to us about love, he knows what he's talking about. For 3 years, he traveled alongside love. He looked upon love with his own eyes. He touched love with his own hands. He heard love speaking tenderly to the hearts of men. John was there when love loved. Day after day, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, accepting the outcasts, welcoming little children, feeding hungry crowds, encouraging the poor in spirit. John reclined on love's breast at love's Last Supper. John watched love drape himself in a towel and wash the feet of his disciples. John heard love speak in Gethsemane, greeting Judas, his betrayer, by calling him friend. John saw love suffering, bleeding, dying at Golgotha. And even there, love prayed for the forgiveness of those crucifying him. Love comforted a wretched thief. Love arranged care from the cross for his dear mother. Love cried up to heaven, loving God his Father even in his abandonment, and entrusting his spirit to God his Father. John, the disciple of Jesus, speaks to us in this text about love, calling us to love God and to love all God's children. And when John speaks about love, he knows what he's talking about. And he knows how such love flows from knowing and believing in Jesus. When John speaks to us about faith and about testimony, he understands these things as well. He heard the Father's testimony concerning his son Jesus, written in the scriptures of the Old Testament. John had also heard God's testimony concerning his son Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my son whom I love," the voice said. "Listen to him." John had heard the divine testimony concerning the Son when he beheld the glory of Jesus manifested in his works. Jesus turned water into wine, performed many other miraculous works and signs. John and the other disciples saw these things, and they put their faith in him. And in the glory of Jesus' cross, John also sees the testimony, the divine testimony of who this Jesus is and why he has come. Crucified and dead, John witnesses Jesus hanging on the cross. When the soldiers came to break Jesus' legs, John tells us that they saw that he was already dead, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. "He who saw it has borne witness," John writes. "His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe." And in that great scene from Easter morning, John outruns Peter to the tomb, and he then follows Peter into the tomb, where he sees the place that Jesus had lay, sees the grave linens lying there, sees the face cloth folded neatly and set to the side, and the scripture tells us John saw and believed. The Son of God has come from God to cleanse sinners by his blood, to advocate for them before God. Whoever believes this testimony has eternal life, and Jesus will raise him up on the last day. And John knows that he and the other eyewitness apostles have an important role to play in Jesus' plans. They will bear witness to us and to all. They will testify to Jesus' divine origin, to his coming in the flesh, to his works, to his death, and to his resurrection. so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May the Lord bless you, dear children of God. By his divine testimony of spirit, water, and blood, may our Lord keep you in the true faith until life everlasting. And as his face of love has shone upon you in Jesus, may the light of his love shine through you to others. Amen.